right, open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 30 through 34. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you for this hope that it only takes the faith of a mustard seed. Lord, fill us with the Spirit to the place where we can believe that hope. We can have just enough faith to equal a mustard seed and believe that you will do the miraculous and the amazing. Especially when it comes to you stirring the hearts of our neighbors and friends that we care so deeply about, who are completely lost and facing a Christless eternity in front of them if they don't turn to you and repent. We pray, Lord, that you would do this thing for us because you desire to give your children good gifts and because it's your desire that no one perish. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, so here we go with this parable of the mustard seed. And starting out in verse 30, "And he said that he is Jesus," if you weren't sure. And here we go with Jesus said this thing. What can we compare the kingdom of God to, or what parable shall we use for it? He's still speaking with the people in a conversation that starts way back in chapter 4 at the very beginning, where he starts talking in parables to everyone. The parable of the sower, the purpose of the parables is explained. Then a lamp under a basket, and the parable of the seed growing. And then he follows it up with the parable of the mustard seed to wrap things up on these parables. And it's significant to note the sequence of events here. He talks about these parables, and then he gives this last parable of the mustard seed. You just need enough faith, just enough faith to be like a mustard seed. And amazing things can happen, or will happen. Then immediately following that, he goes into a sequence of various miraculous healings and miraculous works that Jesus does. Jesus calms the storm in the very next section. Then he heals a man with a demon, the demon-possessed man. Then he heals a woman who has been bleeding for multiple years, and he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Each of those miraculous events follow his saying, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed. And that's all he's asking for to begin with. And so he uses these parables to try to get the people he's talking to, and now us, to grasp the kingdom of God. And just think about it. What kind of kingdom starts with something as small as a mustard seed? I've actually, if you look at my lapel pin, it's actually a mustard seed from Israel. The exact kind that Jesus is talking about here. And it's extremely small. It's about half the size of a dill seed, if you used those before. And yet, here is a plant that grows all the way up into a large shrub or a small tree. Just like what we have with our lilac tree right outside the front door here of the church. It's grown into a small tree. Or you can have them pruned into a large shrub. In the same way, the mustard plant grows into this small tree or large shrub, however you choose to grow it. And it's in the branches of this that the birds rest. And Jesus is comparing this experience that everybody knew who's listening to them, to him. Everybody knew this experience of the mustard seed and the mustard tree. And he says to them, this is what the kingdom of God is like. You just start with the mustard seed. And then it blossoms and grows until it starts to flower and produce fruit that has the mustard seed in it. Starts out very small, ends up somewhat large, and it bears fruit. That's the way the church works. Starting with just a small amount of faith, size of a mustard seed, then it begins to grow into a small shrub, then to a large shrub or a small tree, bearing fruit. The fruit of another cluster of mustard seed. But this kingdom of God he's talking about is not only the broader kingdom of God, it's also the internal kingdom of God that we have. We start out with the faith of a small mustard seed. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is and put our trust in him to forgive us of our sins and make us right with God. And then that seed grows in our hearts and it begins to mature into something beautiful. And it finally starts to bear fruit. Do you realize that the fruit you're bearing now for God's kingdom is the result of just a small mustard seed of faith that you had in the very beginning of your journey as a Christian? And it's also important to note that the mustard seed doesn't sprout into a small seedling and then grow into a large tree in a matter of days. Like all other plants, it takes a few years for it to go from the seedling into the large shrub or the small tree. And so likewise, we take time to mature into a small tree that bears fruit. But we don't want the part about the birds nesting in our tree. That's a bad thing. It was Martin Luther who said, when someone asked him about being tempted to sin, he said, I can't stop the birds of the air from flying over my head, but I can keep them from making a nest in my hair. Those are wise words as well as funny words. Because when the birds begin to nest in our hair, he's obviously drawing symbolism to letting sin take root and become comfortable in our lives. And that's how it works on the dark side. Something very small, it begins to grow, and we become comfortable with it. We start out and say, oh, that person. And then that grows into, we get comfortable with our dislike and it becomes a hatred for that person. Then we begin to spew forth from our tongues the most caustic and acidic words we can use. But thankfully, praise God, Jesus has a remedy for that. And it's called repentance. and the working of the Holy Spirit. And just like a mustard seed turning into a tree, the tree sometimes has to be pruned to bear more fruit. And when we've picked up bad habits, those have to be pruned out of our lives. And most often, those pruning of the bad habits out of our lives comes through some difficulty. But first and foremost, it comes through an awareness given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit just sort of taps us or thumps us. And you just go, wait, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And that's the beginning of the Spirit's work in you to prune out these bad habits. And of course, the goal is so that you will bear more fruit for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. But just as I mentioned the personal aspect of the mustard seed and the becoming a tree, so also we as a church can get comfortable with ideas and practices that we should not be comfortable with. And it takes us with, and we end up having to be pruned as a church body. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to take people and take them away from us just because we need to be pruned as a church. It most probably means he's going to confront us with something that we've become too comfortable with and need to change. And of course, whenever that occurs, whether it's individually or as a corporately as a church, the immediate question arises, how are we going to respond to that? What's going to be our answer to the Lord of, hey, you need to get this pruned out of your life. You need to be working with the Spirit to get this out of your life. Because that's the only way it gets out, right? It isn't just we prune it out. It's us working with the Spirit. That's sanctification. Us working with the Spirit to prune it out. It's usually not a pleasant process, but it is a necessary process. God is good. He is good to do all that I've just described. He is good to give us the faith of a mustard seed. He is good to give us the necessary nourishment that we need to grow into a small tree that can bear much fruit. And he's good to prune out parts of our lives that need to be pruned. He is a good, good, good Father. And as difficult as the process of him pruning things out for us is, I'm still thankful for it. The person you see today is the result of multiple prunings by our Father. 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been a good pastor. I would have been self-centered and selfish. Well, more than I am. And I would have not been a good shepherd for you. But the Lord prunes and takes away those things that were hindrances to me being made ready to shepherd and pastor a church. And he did it, and it wasn't pleasant, but I'm really glad that he did. I like the results, I just don't like the process that it takes to get there. The journey becomes a little rough at times. But he is good, right? Even in the midst of the pruning, in the most difficult of processes, He is there with us. We are not alone. It's not like he says, here, you need to be pruned. Go. You go and do the thing you're supposed to do. That's not how God responds. God responds with, I will be with you. Now, our Heavenly Father is blessing us through these difficult circumstances. Jesus is walking with us, just as he promised when we're going through these difficult circumstances. And the Spirit is at work within us. We have the Trinity in the most difficult of moments of our lives. The Trinity is right there. We may not recognize they're there. We may not necessarily respond in ways that would show that we know they're with us, but they are. And they are at work in us, even though we don't recognize that they are at work in us. Can you believe that? God is so good that he sends all three of himself to be with us in the most difficult of moments. Wow. I mean, that's just like, wow. I don't have another word to express the amazement of that reality and that truth. And then towards the end here in verse 32 of the parable, it talks about how the branches grow so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Well, we also can provide rest and shade for those who are experiencing difficulty. Our mustard tree reaches over and provides cover to them so that the sun and the intensity of their difficulty is not as intense, but is shaded some. We comfort them with words. We comfort them with acts of service that brings relief to them, whether it's preparing meals or whether it's doing actual physical actions that bring relief to them, like working their arm or leg muscles. That's providing shade for the person who is under difficulty. And here's the most brilliant part of this parable to me. Unlike a mustard tree that is planted in the ground and can't move, we get to carry our tree with us and move all around, going wherever the need is that we recognize, bearing fruit in that moment, in that place, as a tree, whether it's providing shade or bearing the fruit of witnessing to the Word and to the truth of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, bearing fruit or providing shade, we get to take our tree there and make an impact upon that person's life. What a good God we have. God is good. Then in verse 33 and 34, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them so they were able to hear it. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus needed to use parables to explain to people what the kingdom of God was like, what being a believer and follower of him is like. And the parables are still useful for us today, just as we've been seeing in these last few minutes of looking at the parable of the mustard seed. So we also need to be taught in parables. But the difference is we have the Holy Spirit that teaches us what the parable means, reveals the meaning to us so that we can grasp it. Yes, there are also aids like Bible studies and preaching and sitting under the preaching of the Word that helps us understand the parable. But it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Even now the Holy Spirit is at work within me to try to explain the parable and to say the things I've been saying to you. But we have the Holy Spirit so the parables can make sense to us. We can hear the word that Jesus has spoken and understand it. I know it's not easy all the times to understand the parables. Okay, I'm just going to step aside here for a second and jump into my nerdy mode. In biblical interpretation, parables have one major meaning. And the goal of the reader is to grasp that one major meaning of the parable, and that's it. The parables are not allegories. They don't have all these deeper meanings. You know, they don't have the mustard seed growing up into the larger plant. You know, doesn't have some hidden meaning that in an allegorical way that has to be brought out or understood. The parables are just one major meaning. And my hope is that today I've done that. Sure, I've expounded upon the meaning to various ways it applies to us in our lives. But there's just one meaning. The kingdom of God starts out with something as small as a mustard seed and blossoms into a beautiful small tree or large shrub that produces fruit and provides shade. That's it. That's it. That's all it is to this parable. There are many applications, and it can prompt many ways of thinking about yourself or about our church. But the only meaning you need to grasp is that's what the kingdom of God is like. Then in verse 34, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. What a relief. We don't have to be like the crowds in Jesus' day that had to be taught in parables to grasp the truth and the meaning of the kingdom of God. But as his own disciples, he explains it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of others who've been given revelation or truth to understand. And revelation was probably too strong of a word. But to his own disciples, Jesus explains everything. The Holy Spirit at work to help us grasp and understand the meaning, and then to the broader range of all the applications it has in our lives. What a good God we have. What a good Savior we have. What a fantastic Holy Spirit we have. I sit here and I'm standing here just in amazement at all that he's done and all that he's doing for us. Now, all this talk about growing into a small tree that bears fruit, well, now it raises an uncomfortable question. Where are we at? Where are you at individually in this process of becoming a tree that bears fruit? And where are we as a church in the process of becoming a tree that bears fruit? Look, it's okay to still be a small shrub as long as you're continuing to grow. What's not okay is when you get to the small shrub phase and you just check out and don't grow anymore. You don't read the word. You don't seek to understand what the word is saying. You become indifferent sometimes. Those kind of outward signs show that there's a definite problem on the inward of the heart. So if you're not growing, my admonition to you is get back into the Word. It always starts with getting back into the Word. If you are growing, then keep doing the things you've been doing and listening to the Holy Spirit to draw you in deeper and richer to His presence and to the truth of Jesus so that you can grow even bigger in your from a small shrub to a large shrub and then become a small tree. Grow into a mature Christian is what we're really talking about. And maturity as a believer grows from reading the Word and doing the Word. Not just a hearer only, as James says, but a doer of the Word. And I hope that's where each of you are. You're in this phase of continuing to grow in your maturity in Christ and your walk with Him. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. Your steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. O Lord God of heaven and earth, thank you for these words you gave us today. We pray, O Lord, that we would just have that faith, the faith of just a mustard seed, so that we can grow and become into the large tree that bears much fruit for you, both individually and as a church body. We pray this. And I ask, Lord, that you would do it within me, that I would not get comfortable with where I am, but that I would continue to grow in you by the working of the Holy Spirit. I pray the same for each of the persons in this church room today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.